I know not everyone had a good experience of a father as a kid, and sometimes Father's Day, like Mother's Day, can be challenging for people. Maybe your father was not nice, maybe abusive, maybe absent. So when we sing a song like that, it's just good to be reminded, whatever our experience was, earthly experience, that we've got a good father, and he loves us, and it's who he is. It's who he is. All right, I'm going to give you two choices today. Choose the second, please. I'm going to give you two choices today. Okay, first, I will preach from 1 Kings about how all the different kings did really poorly, and then their entire families were wiped out. Second choice is we get to hear from fathers today, much like we did on Mother's Day, just kind of their experience of fatherhood. And we're going to tie it into our Bible in a Year sermon series of Where's Jesus at the end. But I've got six chairs up here. I'm one of them, and I think there's four others who are here. So grab a chair or a stool and come on up. We got to stay like kind of within this little loop. And Tane will tell us. Tane will tell us if we're not in the right place. Come on up, grab a chair, a stool. If you know you are one of the ones who's going to be sharing today, because upwards of a couple of months ago, all the way to several weeks-ish ago, I contacted all these dads. You want the tall one?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Sweet.
I'll take a short one.
You'll take a short one. All right. Well. Now we have, there we go. Oh, we're going there. Yeah, DJ, I'll grab that one. No, we're good. Are we all, you guys want a curve? Tank, can you see us? Well, now I feel like I'm kind of, here, now I feel like, there. All right, perfect. So, what did I grab? What did I not grab? You, does everybody say hello, fathers? Sweet. And I want you to know that there is one father up here who has no idea what questions I'm going to ask, because I did have another father who was scheduled to be here, but this other father texted me seriously like 10 days ago and said, hey, I can't be there on the 16th, which is today. And I read it as the 18th. And I'm like, hey, no problem, because we got a meeting on the 18th. I said, we'll do a different meeting another day. And then I sent a text to all the dads last night, except you, because you don't have a cell phone. And this dad sent me back, hey, I told you I wasn't going to be there. So this morning, we've got somebody who has no idea what we're asking. We won't tell you which one. But we're excited for this, okay? Instead of hearing a sermon about how all the kings killed each other and all their families, we're going to tie in fatherhood. So we've got the blue mic on this side, so we're going to kind of alternate every other side so that we don't have dead pauses. And if you're going to talk, talk with it up here like an ice cream cone, and if you do that, we will give you ice cream after the service. Don't lick the mic. Well, you're sharing with Kyle, so he's got daughters. And that way the people watching online can also hear. Okay, so first question, and we're going to start down there since you don't know what I'm going to ask. Okay, just tell us your name and the description of your dadhood. Okay, so like kids, grandkids, blended family, single dad, married, all that good stuff. So name and that.
All right. My name is DJ Merriam, and I am the father of a beautiful six-year-old daughter, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Solo parenting-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so situation basically co-parenting.
Co-parenting.
But, yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Ryan, and then we're going to jump over to you, Tom.
Now it's on.
Now it's on.
All right. I should know that since I used to work audio here. My name is Ryan Crome, and as I just said, I used to attend church here. Now I attend with my wife, Stacy, up at Summit. But I became a stepfather a little over a year and a half ago, so newly into fatherhood.
Yeah, blended family. Very good. Tom?
It's Tommy, to you.
Tommy, sorry. My bad, that's right.
Jimmy, you should know that.
You're right, Tommy. My bad. Tommy, tell us who you are.
Tom, Tom Knutson. I retired many, many years ago. I have multiple families. I have three living children, two girls and one boy, four grandchildren, one great-grand, which I've only seen once, lives in Arkansas. In my fatherhood, early, when the kids were small, I was working about 500 hours a week, if anybody knows about that type of thing. So I didn't get to see him that much, except at night.
Well, hey, Tommy, you can't talk too much yet. We got other questions that you're going to be able to answer all that for.
Well, I don't know. You can skip me, you know.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I didn't mean to do it in a mean way. So we're going to hear the rest of that as we keep going. Kyle?
I'm Kyle, and I run Mermaid Security for four beautiful girls.
Very good. And?
And I'm the one that doesn't know what the questions are. But I'm Dan McElroy, and I've got two grown kids, and that's it.
But since you have a mic,
yes,
and since you are punting on every question, I'm not even going to give you time to think about this first one. What's your favorite part about being a dad?
It's sharing myself with my kids. That's what I like the best.
Very good. Good answer. Tommy? Favorite part about being a dad?
Get to finish now?
Yep, get to finish now.
Oh, okay.
Whether you're answering the question or not.
Where was I?
You were working 500 hours.
Working 500 hours a week and about to tell us the favorite part of being a dad when you were able to be around to be a dad.
Right. I missed my kids growing up, honestly. It was very difficult on me, but when I did get time and quit my three jobs that I was working, I was a chief pharmacist for a hospital and for a clinic and for a nursing home, so I was running all the time, a 24-hour call, and somehow the sheriff got my name too, so he called me quite a bit. But I missed the younger years of my kids until they got to be teenagers. Then I had more time, and I put them to work. Took some out. They were delivering prescriptions for me, which if you know how that goes, that's, you know, a 16-year-old kid with the keys to the car.
And drugs?
Yeah. And
we do know how that goes these days.
And prescription drugs.
Prescription drugs. Okay. So, did you get to your favorite part about being a dad? Not yet.
Do I what?
Your favorite part.
What's your favorite part?
Favorite part about being a dad.
It's fun not being able to hear things. My favorite part of being a dad is being a grandson. I've got a good one. He's a hockey player, and he was represented the state for the Spokane here, Washington, and in a hockey tournament. And seeing my grandkids.
Okay.
That's
good.
That's it.
Now, for those who don't know, this is not one of the questions we're going to ask, but Tommy was on the Johnny Carson show, was it?
Yeah,
well, you can't tell that story now. I just really primed them. So go ahead, give the mic to DJ. Really cool story. You guys should ask him about that sometime. Favorite part of being a dad?
Thanks. I got to follow that. I think so similar. My favorite part about being a dad is sharing in successes and experiencing the successes of my daughters as they, whether it's big successes or little successes. Just this last week, Juliana received a major award, not the leg lamp from Christmas Story, but she was student of the year at Lakeside Middle School, and she's actually won that 3 years in a row. And just kind of hearing what her teachers had to say about her, what other adults see in my child, and just kind of what she's going to become is humbling to know that I'm at least doing something maybe right. Mostly my wife, but thank you.
Okay, very good. DJ.
So I think seeing the enjoyment of life in my daughter, like experiencing, like you said, experiencing life with her, but then just seeing that happiness, enjoyment. And then also hearing the words, "I love you, Daddy."
Yeah. Very sweet. Ryan, favorite part about being a dad?
Probably the thing that I've enjoyed the most about becoming a dad is just getting to see her experience life and find new things, find what she enjoys. This last year, she started playing the bass, the upright bass. And for those of you who have seen Quinelope before, she is the teeniest little thing. Well, you see my wife up here. She's the teeniest little thing, and she's playing the upright bass. And so it's awesome to see her find those new things that she enjoys.
That is great. Hold that mic, because you're going to start the next question. Okay. You're not solely up at Summit. Every once in a while, they'll swing back in here. And when you see Q, is what I call her, Quinelope, ask her about being a certified ninja. Okay? You can't tell that story, but that's for another time. Ryan, the most challenging part of being a dad. And like you said, you're a new dad in a blended family over the last year plus.
Yeah. Being in a blended family, you have different sets of rules at different places. And so probably one of the hardest things is consistency for us. So Sunday evenings are usually some of the hardest days for us, because that's when she's every other weekend she's at her dad's house. And so just bringing her back into the fold and letting her know that these are the rules here, and letting her adjust back into that. That's probably one of the hardest things for us.
Yeah, thank you. DJ?
Yeah, I would say just honestly not knowing what to do or how to respond sometimes, and wondering, like, what am I saying and doing, and how will that affect her into the future? And I get it, that's probably what a lot of parents go through. But the grace in that is that God keeps me one step ahead, so.
Wow. Very good. Kyle, most challenging part of being a dad?
I could take the cop-out answer and say having a teenage daughter, but I'll pass on that one and say that right now I'm going through my career, and I work full-time. I do reserves on the weekend, 1 weekend a month, and I think for me it's missing out on things, even from like the mundane things like Amazon box forts, which are the new blanket forts, to soccer matches and other school activities. I think that's kind of the big thing is knowing that I've got a great partner, a great wife who's there for those things makes it easier, but it's still hard to know that I'm missing out on those things.
Yeah, for sure. Tommy, most challenging part about being a dad or grandpa or great-grandpa?
Well, the great-grandpa is that I don't get to see her. I only get to see her for a few hours, and she's about 4 years old now. So that was very sorrowful. And a grandpa, like I say, my grandsons are, you know, terrific. My kids, my daughter is here. She is very successful. She's a teacher, and I love to hear her with the kids. Mm. She teaches out of our home, and just does a wonderful job. They love her, and she loves them. And my other daughter, who's pretty outgoing, and she just got back from New York, Washington, D.C., she's the head of the realtors of Washington. And my one son works for Avista, And he is in he's an electrical engineer, and he's very proud of the way these kids all went through college and all got advanced degrees and everything. And he's in charge of about four or five of the counties around here. So
wow.
They've all done well, and I'm proud of every one of them and my grandkids.
Thank you. Dan, most challenging part of being a dad?
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand with the best part, which is sharing myself, and it's admitting when I'm wrong.
Wow. What you see is two different, when we set up this Mother's Day panel and Father's Day panel, we knew the moms could talk, because traditionally women talk more than men. But we're seeing some of both this time, short answers and longer answers, which is so good. Prayers and hopes you've had for your kids, and I'm going to not make you go first this time. DJ, prayers and hopes you've had for your daughter along the process.
Oh, well, the ones
or whatever question I initially sent you.
I planned my answer to be, I think the... Yeah, that she would know Jesus, that she would love him and follow him. But now I see, like, hope for a family, good family. So
yeah, very good. You want to jump into that one, or you want to
yeah.
Think? Okay, prayers or hopes that you had for your kids.
Some of them have been, you know, as our kids have gone through various health related things, you know, just praying them through those situations. And then just as they've planned their futures, you know, school and college and things like that, just praying for them to make good choices along those ways, and just praying for them when they're away from my direct supervision or whatever, like I really do any of that kind of stuff, but praying for them when they're away from me, and just praying for their future, praying for them to develop the kind of relationship with God that that He is drawing them into. So.
Very good. Tom, any specific prayers or hopes for your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids?
Yes. they exceeded my expectations, actually.
Great.
And they are all Christians and go to church. My kids are lovely. In fact, we just got back from a large church meeting yesterday and there was pastors from all over the country that came for this, for Jerry Foster. I don't know if you know Jerry, but he was the head of the Bible school here in town.
Okay.
And he passed away here a while ago, so...
So your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids are already exceeding your hopes and the prayers that you've prayed over the years.
Well, all except one. You know, she's only 4 years old, and she's going to get it.
Wasn't sure where that one was going. Thank you. Kyle, prayers and hopes for your daughters.
So I had to write this down. I want to make sure I get it right, because I do the nightly prayers with my girls, but I think my prayers for them is that they grow up to love Jesus and to help people. And I know they will. I know they're acting that out and living that out. But that is absolutely my boiled down prayer for them.
Yeah, good. And Ryan, I think you haven't answered this one, right?
No. That she truly gets to learn and know who the person of Christ is, and that she treats people that way.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing here. I mean, it's one thing to know Christ, but if you're not treating people on earth like Christ would, then you've missed the boat a little bit there.
Very good. Thank you. You have the mic. So this is Father's Day number two for you, right?
Correct.
What's your ideal Father's Day look like?
I'm still learning what Father's Day and being a father means to me, only being a year and a half, two plus into this. So we actually joked about this a little bit this last week, because we had a little hard time my mother-in-law and Stacy and I were talking about last week, what do you guys want to do? And my father-in-law, Ted, kind of just looked at each other, like, we don't know. So it took me a little bit of time. So we're going out somewhere nice to eat and actually maybe getting a little bit of time to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Very good. I've been a dad for almost 21 years now, and I still don't know what my ideal one looks like. So, Kyle, got a mic.
So I initially wrote down kind of a nice day, 75, warm, sunny.
The smell of lilacs blowing into the
nowhere
open
close
window.
To a beach because I hate the sand, going to a matinee ball game. But I started thinking about it, and that's not really how I want to be a dad. That would be like a birthday for me. But being a dad would be still the nice weather. We'd go outside. Playing games with the girls, whether it's getting beaten cribbage by Sadie, or building Lego with the other girls, or Sadie too, she likes Legos, but just investing and doing that time with the girls, I think that it changed my mentality, just in thinking about what would be a great Father's Day for me.
Okay, very good. Tom, you've lived a few Father's Day. A few Father's Days. What does your ideal Father's Day look like?
Today.
Today.
Amen.
Yeah, feel free to pass the mic on to DJ.
All right.
No, he's like, nope, I got more.
Since you gave me the phone, I'm going to... Wow. every day is a great day just to have the kids. And I remember my father, and I just loved him dearly. And mm-hmm. I love every one of my kids, and they follow God. And
good.
What else can I do?
Yeah. No, I like that. Thank you. Dan, ideal Father's Day.
Well, I'm going to have a pretty good one today. My son and I are going to go and have lunch at P.F. Chang's, and then we're going to see the new Mad Max movie. So, I mean... That wouldn't happen every year, but that sort of thing is right up my alley.
Very good. And DJ?
Yeah, you're not alone as far as not knowing what the ideal would be. I think realizing, I just want to experience my favorite thing, which is seeing my daughter enjoy life. So if that means I get to spend time with her, great.
So. Perfect. All right, so those are all the easy questions. We're going to maybe combine some of the more challenging ones. God's traditionally spoken of as a father in Scripture and throughout church history. How does that terminology approach you being a dad, and does it add any additional weight to your experience of being a dad? So we're going to start with DJ, and if you want to pass it off, you don't have to, but if you want to, okay? DJ, so the ultimate question, how has God as father shaped that terminology shaped your approach of being a dad, and has it added any weight to fatherhood?
Yes, it has added weight. I see, like learning about who God is and from the Bible, his heart as a father, the love he has, and I don't know. I grew even in like high school, college, like experienced some of that where seeing people who like didn't have a father and like. Wow, how much are they missing? So having that heart for children, for teaching, for helping train, puts responsibility on me. I feel it. I feel the weight of it. I want to be like God. I want to be a good father. I understand that I need his help to do that. But I think part of that is, for me, how do I protect? How do I train? How do I nurture? Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Okay, very good. Thanks, DJ. All right, Dan, know the question?
I do.
Okay, fire away.
So I wasn't that close to my dad. I came to faith as a high school student at the age of 15, and through my youth group and through my church, developed a lot of great relationships with men that I would consider mentors and father figures for me. And I was involved with student ministry for a lot of years and got to play a similar role with other kids. And so I had a lot of kind of preview to fatherhood before I was married and had kids. And so having that model and seeing it lived out by other people and then having the opportunity to kind of practice before it was kids that I was fully responsible for molding was a really good thing. So I don't know that I'd see it as a weight. I certainly see it as a responsibility. Mm. But there's really almost a weight lifted by knowing that I have a Heavenly Father that I can use as a model, and as well as the men in my life that have served as mentors to me along the way. So that's okay. Me.
Very good. Tom, God as Father, knowing that terminology, has that affected how you fathered?
I hope so. It has been several times in our life when tragedy hits, you know, and if it wasn't for our Father in heaven, I probably wouldn't have made it through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things. As you get older, you people understand that, and you rely on God more than you know. So
yeah, very good, very good. Kyle,
there's a lot to live up to, as we sang, God is a good Father, and I try to be that. I like to think I'm an okay, God is good, and I'm just trying to even remotely shine through a little bit on that.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Ryan?
Yeah, as I reflect on God as my Father and how what I need to do to kind of live up to what that is. There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack. But as long as I'm using that as my example, I think that's what I have to rely on. I keep coming back to that. That as long as that's the framework and that's the what I'm trying to use when I'm parenting and fathering her, that's. Is there a lot to live up to there? Yeah, most definitely, for sure. But also, I know my godly Father gives me grace, and so that's what I try to do that same thing and impart upon that. That you know, she's still figuring things out, so I got to make sure that I'm using the things that He's modeled for me. I'm doing the same thing. I'm modeling exactly how He's fathering me, doing the same thing to her.
Very good, very good. I'm going to say it's safe to assume that as you guys read Scripture, as you see God described as Father, and as you see His attributes, character traits, safe to assume you guys see that and say, I would like to live that way too. Yeah? Okay, good. That answers question 8. Question number 9. We've been doing Bible in a Year now for 6.5 months or 5.5, whatever we're into. And each day we have readings. And the reading for today, we're not going to have them talk about the Old Testament reading. We're going to look at the proverb. Okay? So one of the verses for today was, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Okay? So I'll read that again. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And I'll take a little liberty and say perhaps even maybe could create rifts between fathers and children when a fault is not forgiven. So, if you're willing, share one story of successfully forgiving a child, and perhaps a story where you dwelt on it a little bit too long and it maybe created a rift. Is that a fair question? You want to go first?
I got this.
Okay.
So one story where I could forgive better. I'm a very practical person, if anybody knows me. And the best way to not cry over spilled milk is to fill the glass less and less and less each time. So then there is no spilled milk. Well, that's not forgiving and allowing them to learn. I know it's an easy one to think, and I actually posed the question to the girls, and all of them said, oh, yeah, you've held on to things, but they couldn't name a time. They've all said, oh, yeah, you've forgiven us. They couldn't name a time. So it was kind of, so I think I'm plus and minus in both of those, so net zero on that. So we'll just go with the milk one. I realized it last night as I was even filling up milk that, I didn't fill up the milk all the way last night, and just because I've learned that a certain six-year-old who will soon be seven is active and likes to dance and do things at dinner that will consequently knock milk over, and I'm not Spider-Man and can't reflex enough to catch that milk, so I don't fill it as much, so there's not as much to clean. But I need to allow her to grow. So I think that's probably my biggest one.
Okay, very good. And next week, don't let me forget that said six-year-old will be turning seven on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Okay, Ryan. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends or father and child. A success and maybe...
Learning experience. Yeah. I'll start with that one. It's been a number of months ago now, but we had an incident where Quinn reached out and struck her mom. And I reacted fairly quickly to that. And she did not care for the way I reacted to that. And it resulted in a couple of days of us not talking to each other at all. And Stacy had to step in and said, you guys need to knock it off and figure this out. But just a learning experience. It's part of growth, right? Yeah. And so we did, and things have gotten better. The positive one actually just came just this last week, honestly. We had a bit of a learning experience. Something happened where she did something she wasn't supposed to, and... my office is downstairs, and she came down without being asked. I didn't find out that she hadn't been asked until later on. Stacy told me, oh, no, I was unaware that she did this. But she came down and apologized to me for her actions.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, maybe things are starting to plug in a little bit. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Great example of both the plus and the minus. Dan, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates... close friends, people. Positive that you experienced that as a dad, and maybe a growing place.
So I have over the years learned to be quick to forgive. And I learned it actually even before being a parent by, like I said, having been involved in church leadership, because there's lots of opportunities to be able to, or to need to forgive quickly. And so I can't think of any that didn't work out the way that I would want and that I think God would want, but and I think more of the times when I'm the one that needs to be forgiven. Mm. And a recent example of that is when I was in the hospital just recently with this whole amputation thing that went on, as I was getting ready to be discharged, I had the opportunity to either go home or to go on to rehab. And I had had some bad experiences with post-hospital care previously, and I was really fearful and not eager to go into rehab. I really felt like, I want to go home. I don't see that there's a value to this. This is going to be a terrible thing. And I said some things to my daughter, who was up here at that time, supporting my wife and me, and said some really hurtful things in the moment, you know. And there are things that I could justify if I wanted to say, well, you know, that's, I was in a bad situation, blah, 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 and they don't understand the situation that I was in before and why I responded the way I did. There was definitely a rift for a little bit that I
recognized and wanted to resolve as quickly as possible, particularly because my daughter doesn't live in the area. I didn't want it to be something that, you know, she'd take back home with her and that, you know, things wouldn't be resolved with her. So I spent a lot of time in prayer and was able to kind of reconcile things and apologize to her and gain her forgiveness during that time. And so that for me is the example that comes up as something most recently where I was the one at fault and needed to seek forgiveness. So.
Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. DJ?
Yeah, so like Dan, I thought more of ways that I've made mistakes and I need to ask my daughter for forgiveness. And like you, wanting to make sure that I keep those short accounts, that she doesn't have something to dwell on. I know how easy it is for me to dwell on the mistakes that I've made, and I don't want her to add something. So yeah, trying to make sure that we are, that the sins are forgiven, that things are cleared.
Yeah, very good. Tom, do you have an answer for this one?
Yeah, I usually say something wrong. I start out right, and it doesn't end up right.
So love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Do you have a good story of a time where forgiveness was granted and it was good, or maybe where it was withheld and it was not good?
Well, for me, I hope it was lots of it that was forgiven for me for what I say, but I usually, my thinking doesn't always end up with what I'm feeling, you know.
Yeah.
I think everybody has that problem once in a while. But my sons, my youngest and my second son, he decided to take my pickup truck for a ride one day. And they went down by the river, got it stuck, burned out my transmission trying to get it out of there. And I never even, yeah. I never scolded them or anything for that. I just was just happy they were all okay. I just love them too much. So.
Wow, thank you. I want us to notice one of the questions I had originally asked this group that we're not really answering is, what's an additional weight you carry as a dad, right? And I figured that all of the ones up here would be like, well, providing or protecting. Notice how this conversation of forgiveness, most of it was all the times that we had to be forgiven and the desire to not be that stumbling block for their kids. I think there's something powerful in that. So well done, dads. Tom, you get to go first on the final question. A proverb like this: love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. How does a proverb like this point to Jesus?
Jimmy, I forgive you for.
Thank you, Tommy. Yeah, well, Ryan. Thank you, Tom. How does a proverb like this point to Jesus? While he's thinking, DJ?
God's our ultimate forgiver. I mean, he's forgiven us of everything we've done.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, just that as he is our father, like the unconditional love. I know that I don't expect my daughter, sorry, I'm confusing myself. The idea that I don't need her to come to me to ask forgiveness. I love her enough that I will give it, even if she doesn't ask for it. And so knowing that, okay, I can go to God like that, and it's there.
Yeah, good. Kyle?
I have all my notes. It was real easy this time. Jesus forgives. And I could mic drop there, but throughout his entire ministry, Jesus continually forgave. It was everything he did was showing love by forgiving, you know, and fulfilling the prophecies to bring Israel back to God and the Gentiles back to God and bringing people back to God. Jesus forgives. And with his last breath, Jesus forgave. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one was, you said four easy questions, but this one was easy for me because Jesus is just the example of forgiveness.
Very good. Very good. And Dan, anything else?
Can you read the verse one more time?
Yep. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends.
So it made me think of the fact that God really desires community with us, and that his forgiveness is driven by a desire to restore community with us. And so that's where I see Jesus in yeah. this verse, is he was willing to do everything to allow us to be in community with him.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic. I would ask for a round of applause, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna ask for a sitting O, which is just shy of a sitting ovation, okay? There we go. And you guys can clap for them as they're going to their seats, but while they're going to their seats, go ahead and stand. Yeah, it's Father's Day, we're gonna end this thing like this, because there's ice cream to be handed out. Gentlemen, thank you for that. I didn't get off script, even though it's super dark.